This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now that the dust has settled, can we just move on and talk just about baseball? The answer to that question, much to the dismay of many, is hell no. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you in the loop. Sports Radio 610.
There will be a day, but today is not that day.
Yes, there will be, maybe. Boots on sand at spring training. We're going to go out there and talk to radio.com insider Bob Nightingale. There's also some conspiracy theories floating around, courtesy of John Lopez. And we've gotten to sleep on the AK-47 of Astros information that we endured yesterday. So now that you've slept on it, John, now that you've been able to close your eyes and rest and think about this whole thing, what is your biggest takeaway that you gathered from yesterday as pitchers and catchers and really everybody reported to spring training for the Houston Astros?
Well, a couple of things, of course. The foremost being kind of what you said, not that it's not going to go away anytime soon, but also, I mean, the fact that it's not going to go away anytime soon, I should say, but also the Astros did a lot to make sure it didn't go away. You know, we were talking about how bad the opening press conference was, how that could have they could have come off looking a lot better had it just been Jim Crane outside with the press conference and then open locker room and just let the players answer. But because they didn't do it, Astros PR strikes again, because they didn't do it that way and they had Dusty Baker out there very awkwardly and Altuve and Bregman were very stiff and not delivering those statements very well. It was actually much, much better in the clubhouse, but because they did it that way, they guaranteed that this is not going to go away anytime soon because, as everyone who's an Astros fan knows quite well, if you've been following social media of any kind, Facebook, Twitter, Insta, anything, all right, TikTok, for God's sakes, they're getting destroyed by not just like fans and Yankee fans and all that, but national baseball. Like Buster Olney just went in on the Astros and how they handled this. If they just handled it better, that's my number one takeaway. They might have shortened that span of time that this is going to be at the forefront. And then my second takeaway, kind of like the sweeping view of what happened yesterday, is I think Carlos Correa, and this is we were the first to really talk about it because we were the first to play his audio, and now everybody is kind of on the same boat. Carlos Correa has emerged as more of a, I don't want to say leader, but more of the truth, more of the truth and the more integrity there. He's always kind of been, you know, portrayed, including by us, you know, in a fun way, as some dude that's just kind of like flighty and unfulfilled expectations and everything. He all of a sudden looks like a guy that is like a rock in there.
Yeah, he looks like a leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And he's kind of been a guy who's been a foundation piece, but you know, you've considered other guys leaders outside of Carlos Correa, but he might have established himself as the voice in the clubhouse yesterday, and he actually provided people. And obviously national media types aren't really going to gravitate towards stuff that actually, you know, ruins their agenda or ruins, you know, what they're trying to portray the Astros as. But Carlos Correa gave you as in-depth information as you could expect to get amidst a scandal like this. This was what Carlos Correa had to say yesterday.
During the regular season is when we use it the most. I remember going to Dodger Stadium, and we used multiple signs when we started the game over there. So when it came to our house, they used multiple signs as well. So there's no way to relay signs out there when you're using multiple signs. So when it comes to the playoffs, it's loud. It's people were using multiple signs going into the stadium because of rumors or whatever were going on at the time. So, you know, when I look back at the playoffs and I look at the games, It was not affected like in the regular season.
Were you still trying it in the playoffs?
The traction was there. Yeah, I mean, if we had a chance, but like I said, I remember them coming using multiple signs, and it's impossible to decode all those signs.
You know what I loved about that is a lot of players have been reluctant to call it what it is.
I mean, they would
say, you
know
what I mean?
It happened. It's also been, you know, with the playoffs, well, you know, they were changing their signs, so it was impossible. But Carlos Correa said, yeah, they were changing their signs, but if we had the chance, the trash can was there. It was on deck, so we were still going to use it.
And people have been using, like, euphemisms for cheating, right? Jim Crane most notably yesterday. But all the players were like, well, it was against the rules. We're sorry. He actually said stuff like that. He actually used the word code breaker. It's like they're afraid to actually say the words. You know what I mean? A lot of players. He used code breaker, and if you hear that, that last audio, he actually said, yeah, the trash can was there.
It was there.
It was hard,
but if we could have used it, we would have. It wasn't, they're changing their signal, so we're going to bail on the plan. He gave it to you. And the other thing I think is that's amusing about this whole thing is something went viral yesterday of Carlos Correa denying cheating in 2019. He had the shades, he had the jacket on, and he was at the podium, and people were taking that clip that we just played talking about 2017 and connecting it to there and saying, see, you can't believe Carlos Correa. I can't stand selective dumbasses.
Right.
Like, I can walk around town and I can understand that everybody at some point is a dumbass. I can look in the mirror and realize I'm a dumbass probably more than most. But I'm not a selective dumbass. Like, some people...
I'm an honest dumbass.
They're just picking and choosing. You're picking and choosing when to be a dumbass. Like, when I feel like I can actually gather information and present it the right way, mm-hmm. I'm not going to make myself a dumbass just to fit my agenda. Correa made it very clear that according to him, and he could be very well be lying, but according to him, they did not cheat in 2018, 2019. That guy who just gave you that in-depth information right there, the most in-depth information you could get from 2017, said they didn't cheat in 2018 and 19. And people are taking that and connecting it to a denial in 2018. There's too many selective dumbasses with this.
I agree with you. And I, like I said, like, he's the rock right now. He's the voice of reason. He's the most respectable, right? So that kind of counterbalanced by the fact that they can you say screwed the pooch, you know, in terms of like the national narrative and storyline with this team by what they did first outside, you know, by the press conference and how they handled it. And all these, like I said, all these little euphemisms they use. Jim Crane was asked multiple times. Was it cheating?
He screwed up yesterday.
Well, it was against the rules, you know, and whereas Carlos is like, it was cheating, the trash can was there. It was code breaker. I mean, he was like just owning it.
And you also have people saying, well, now we're rating apologies. Yeah, when you apologize, yes, you're supposed to take it in and describe and try to analyze the apology. Mm-hmm. So now there's people trying to get into that. Yes, they apologize. Jim Crane made two mistakes yesterday. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day
to everybody. We're going to have some opportunities for you to get your loved one about $100 worth of goodies.
Let's
at 1150,
make it 150.
1250. Can't do that. 1150, no. 1250, and 150. So we're going to go $100. Sorry, John. Unless you want to give them an extra 50. Oh, it is 150. We gotcha.
Hey.
You are a powerful man here.
I got some stroke.
You
man.
Are a very powerful man.
Figgy, just threw that extra 50 in there.
Figgy, how long did that take for us to turn it from 100
how
to
how do
150?
You do it like that? you're powerful. But the two mistakes that Jim Crane made, John, mm-hmm. and I think this was pathetic on Jim Crane's part. And we've done nothing but praise Jim Crane and the job he's done handling this up till yesterday.
Yeah, no, we were absolutely.
The worst mistakes that Jim Crane made yesterday was number one, when he went to the Houston Sports Awards and he said this.
When we get down to spring training, we'll all get them together and they'll come out with a strong statement as a team, and I think, you know, apologize for what happened and we'll move forward.
That's the biggest mistake that you could have made. There was zero payoff for that. Even if you were going to make your team apologize, as soon as you telegraph it and you say that the apology is coming, even if someone is sincere like Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, and Alex Bregman, it doesn't matter because it looks like you made them do that. There was no payoff. There was no reason to say that the Astros would apologize. That was moronic. That was a huge gaffe by Jim Crane. The other mistake he made was making players apologize. Mm-hmm. Because if someone doesn't want to apologize for this, the ship has sailed. He himself went up there at the podium and said multiple times, the players will not be punished. The players will not be punished. So them apologizing really had no impact on anything. And if you're not really sorry, then you come across as kind of a schmuck when you do apologize. Mm-hmm. So there was no payoff to sitting there and telegraphing it, because it wiped away the sincerity of the sincerest apologies. And there was no payoff to making the players apologize, because if they weren't sorry, then you made them look dumb in having to force the apology. PR 101 and in just a huge fumble by the billionaire owner of the Astros.
Well, we know the Astros PR has had more than its share, more than a lot of people's share of gaffes. But if you're Jim Crane, there are people who do this for a living, you know, who take bad situations. I forget the term they have for them. I'm sure the loopholes will text me, 713-572-4610. It's something like chaos public relations or something like that. Like, in other words, when something really, really bad happens, there are people who are experts at handling that and telling you how and what to do. I guarantee you they wouldn't have said this, you know, well, let's put it off for a while. No, let's fly everybody into Houston the day after it happens on our coin and let them talk about how they want, or whatever, you know, the approach might be. Maybe that's not it. I'm not one of those experts. But I'm saying they're just spend the money to do it the right way, rather than like kind of piecemealing it together and saying, oh yeah, by the way, the locker room is open. We'll see what they, because that was actually pretty candid, some more than others. And the other part of this is, you know, you had a 1 hour meeting. That just hit me funny. You know, after all everything that's happened, maybe there were multiple phone calls in advance. Maybe there was other things, but Jim Crane and the players, to a man, they all said, yeah, we met for about an hour last night. That's going to be, okay, we're ready.
I never really got the chills when they were talking about that meeting, too. They kept talking about the meeting. I sometimes when teams talk about, like, there was a players-only meeting or someone called this, I'll get kind of like the podium critic chills. That meeting just didn't strike me as something that really, like, it didn't really move my needle.
No, it didn't. It's like, again, certain things as I'm driving home, in yesterday's case, driving to College Station, but I was just like, a 1 hour meeting?
Weird. Weird. You know, like, the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. It is Valentine's. We're going to go out to spring training at about 10:45. We're going to talk to Bob Nightingale, our radio.com insider, one of Dusty Baker's right-hand men, and a guy who was in attendance yesterday when the Astros reported to spring training. Also, John Lopez was gone, so he missed the most passionate, nearly tear-filled phone call of all time. You won't believe how Bill O'Brien was brought to the center of the Astros controversy. And speaking of the OG John Lopez, he has his journalism hat on. John Lopez says the Astros dodged a bullet. And if one question would have been asked, they could have been screwed. We'll talk to you next.
It's not like we're that much smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, I would say if that's your opinion, that would be, you know, yours. And I would think that, something funny? Okay. I would say that, you know, we acknowledge what we did that year was not allowed. I'm not going to draw speculation. That's not why we're here today.
It's Lance McCullers yesterday, getting a little bit chippy.
Telling you why we're here today.
A little bit chippy, just something a little funny? Bit. Yeah. Yeah, something was funny, apparently.
How does that strike you? Let's go to that.
I think it was probably a snarky, wise-ass baseball guy who thought he was up there in a better position than he was. I think he was probably laughing sarcastically. And if an athlete checks you on such a thing, you can either tell him what you think is funny or you can just keep it moving. And that guy just elected to keep it moving, which probably a little bit more professional. But I don't doubt that there was probably a little bit of snark, a little bit of
pompous nature.
Oh,
I don't doubt
nature.
That at all. I think also, you know, your antenna are up in the Lance McCullers' antenna were definitely up in that situation, because I think what it probably was, and we weren't there, is that writer or whomever it was kind of wasn't buying.
Yeah.
Know, what McCullers was selling.
Yeah. And that rider wouldn't be alone. That rider would not be alone. So we got that. But the one question that the Astros avoided yesterday that John Lopez thinks they're lucky to have avoided, let's get into that in 4 minutes. But before we do, you were not here, and there was a lot of passion and emotion yesterday on the phone line. Shout out to the Loopholes for bringing it yesterday. Y'all brought that fire. Y'all are contributors to this show. If you listen, you are a Loophole. Lines are always open, 713-572-4610. Don't call just to chat. Call to contribute, which is what Chewy did.
And be ready.
Chewy is an OG who has lived in Houston his entire life, and he's taken this Astros cheating scandal differently and a lot more hard than most Astros fans are, to the point where it almost sounded like he was crying at one point. I want you to listen to Chewy's phone call, and then I want you to listen to how he ends the phone call. He's going to end the phone call listing all the tragedies that have happened in Houston sports.
Oh my
gosh. Listen to the final thing he mentions when he's talking about the travesties in H-Town sports. Here is a very emotional Loophole, my man Chewy. Chewy, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
But I can't understand why the Astros had to do this to H-Town. And the Astros had a good enough team that they didn't have to do this crap. The whole team, they just got to go their separate ways. And then it'll be over, and I can look at them again. But I just don't understand. It's Houston. It just burns the hell out of me to do this. I've been born and raised in this town. You know, the Oilers, we're in Buffalo. We're going to the Super Bowl at halftime. And then the bottom falls out of it. Even with the Rockets, when the Rockets won their championship, what'd they say? Jordan was playing baseball. That's the only reason we won. They played great baseball. And then why they had to turn around and do this to us, I don't understand. And then we've got this jerk wad on the Texans running that show.
Wait a minute. That's the epitome of a drive-by. That's a drive-by on Bill O'Brien.
I mean, we almost went a whole show.
Was that the last
mentioned.
Segment?
Yes.
The very last segment.
We went three hours
without mentioning Houston's most hated.
We went three hours and 50 minutes without mentioning he who will not be named,
this
Bill
dude
O'Brien.
Listed. This dude Chewy. And this isn't a guy trying to shock people. This is a guy on the verge of tears because he feels like the first time that you couldn't take anything away from the city of Houston.
And we got this dirt wad.
He listed the Oilers meltdown.
Yeah.
He listed not getting full credit for Hakeem Olajuwon's Heart of Champion championships.
Yeah.
He mentioned the Astros scandal, and then he mentioned Bill O'Brien running the Texans.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he mentioned, you could say that's technically correct. He mentioned Bill O'Brien running. What do we have that last part? I mean, that's a drive-by. Oh, by the way, Astros this, Astros that. Yeah, our heart's been broken. And then what?
They played great baseball. And then why they had to turn around and do this to us, I don't understand. And then we've got this jerk wad on the Texans running that show.
Let it be known. 3 hours and 50 minutes. And it wasn't us. It wasn't us.
713-572-4610 to get in. I'm intrigued by this. I told you not to say it to me. You said there's a question that could have been asked yesterday during clubhouse availability, during Jim Crane's media session, that would have had the Astros in quite a pickle. They're already in quite a pickle, but you're saying things could have gotten worse if they hadn't been asked what?
Yeah, this was another one of those things.
Or if they had been asked.
That just hit me like the proverbial ton of bricks. There is one question that was not asked. First of all, kudos to, you could tell the national writers were there. That's not to criticize the local writers, but the national writers were kind of, you know, right on top of this story. There were some really good questions asked yesterday, and we've been playing some. You've heard some on the promo, etc. But it occurred to me as yesterday afternoon, there was one question asked that was not asked that I think would have made life really, really difficult on some Astros players. It may come out, but keep this in mind. It was Astros players. I'll give you the quote. This is from Rob Manfred's statement. It was a group of Astros players removed the monitor from the wall in the tunnel and hid it in an office. And then remember this one, also from the Wall Street Journal report, that Astros players occasionally also used a massage gun to bang the trash can. Astros players and Astros players. No one asked who were these players that removed the monitors. Who were these players that actually banged the trash cans? Had that happened, and if that news comes out, I mean, I think life is going to be miserable for the players that actually, you know, because we were talking earlier about how they kind of afraid to say certain things, Carlos Correa being the exception. Like, we don't know who the actual players were that ripped these monitors out and hit them in an office. We don't know who the actual players who got a freaking massage gun and started banging the trash can with it. That's information that I think would affect them, you know, on a personal level and certainly when they're on the road a lot. That question was never asked.
They probably just would have said, we're not going to discuss it.
But I'm saying, but do you think it'll come out?
I don't know.
I was talking to Pendergast about this. He thinks it will.
So that the actual players are going to come out?
Actual players who did this.
You saw they're going to have a TV series on this.
Oh, my God.
They're going to have a TV series on the Astros whole scandal. So you predicted it. There's going to be a movie. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually excited about it. But my biggest takeaway yesterday, I said this 100 times. I think I set a record for saying the word taint. On a radio show. I think this
at least
taint,
on the radio.
This taint is good.
Yeah.
This taint is good for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because this is a sport that doesn't get any national attention. This is the most attention baseball's gotten in the last 20 years, really.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I'm even counting October. I'm counting the playoffs. Villains, what baseball has a problem marketing their players. We've talked about that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And villains are extremely marketable. And there's going to be more eyes on baseball with the Astros. So if baseball as a whole just steps their game up, and they other players that they want to market, if they can market them during games in which the Astros are on TV, this is going to be great for baseball.
Yeah.
Great for baseball. And I know a lot of old fossils and a lot of baseball writers. No disrespect. I know Bob Nightingale is going to about to join us. I'm not trying to bash his profession or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest. The old crusty baseball minds who are going to be pissed off at this and say that it's bad for the game, they're the ones, and that mindset is the one that's been holding this game back for a long time. There's been a lack of progression in baseball. There's been a lack of attention in baseball. There's been poor marketing in baseball. They're becoming more open to the season format. I'm telling you, man, the arrow is pointing up towards baseball. Between all of the proposals, and you can say that it's gimmicky with the extra postseason, and I get it. But between that and between now having a villain that everyone can root against, baseball's in good shape right now. It's no longer they have an opportunity to no longer be a regional sport. It's a huge chance for baseball.
I don't agree with you on the old school base. Some for sure, but I don't agree with you that the old school baseball writers are gonna.
I don't blame you for defending your peers.
Look down on this.
I don't blame you.
I'm not an old school baseball writer. I'm not even old school really in most things. But the reason I say that, they know what the steroid era did. They lived it. Steroid era was a booming success in terms of eyes on the game.
But there were no villains. You know what I'm saying?
There ended up being some villains.
After the fact.
But no, during the fact with Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds was the most polarizing guy in the game. I mean, he was just, there were signs in the stands, you cheater. I mean, I remember, reading, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know
Now, Big Mac, you know, Big Mac was after the fact.
Yeah, after the fact.
But Roger Clemens was a villain. You know,
so after
and the Mitchell report came out and all these players kept playing, they were villains.
Yeah,
Palmeiro and all that. Palmeiro pointing at Congress. I did not take steroids.
I just don't feel like it had this much going on.
Well,
maybe
I think
it was pre-social media.
I think you got a little too much distance between you and that. Because
no, I was right in the mix.
Saying that too much time has passed.
But there wasn't social media either.
That's true.
Social media adds fuel. Social media adds buzz.
No,
and now, if that had happened during the social media era, maybe. But this is the social media era,
it's only going to
add to
That's true. But what I'm saying is, it was a booming success for baseball. Steroids were a booming success for baseball. Now, they would never say that, but it was.
They got it. They got a golden opportunity right now, and I think Rob Manfred should probably thank the Astros. So send them a thank you note. Send them a box of chocolates if you can,
Send
Rob
your girl
Manfred.
A box of chocolates. It's Valentine's
Day. Send whatever. It's kind of expensive. Delivery fees are expensive.
Did you steal
right now,
anything this year for your girl?
I did not. Okay. I bought her a coffee maker.
Is that what she wanted?
Yes.
Well, then that's a good
gift. I didn't make it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds lame, but that's what
no,
she
no. That's what I'm saying. It's not lame unless
it wasn't cheap. I can.
You got a Keurig?
Yes.
That's nice.
I can damn sure promise you it wasn't cheap. That's for damn sure. 713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to Astros Spring Train. Let's talk to our radio.com insider Bob Nightingale. See what he's got to say about everything going on. We'll also hear from you, 713-572-4610. And, God, I love this. We don't usually get this on Fridays, but, my gosh, what a Friday treat. This is the best treat that I will get today. And I got a big-ass bag of peanut M&Ms waiting for me. A John Lopez, Rick Smith conspiracy theory
you know
next.
It.
All right, we're about to be joined by MLB Insider, Radio.com Sports Insider, Bob Nightingale, courtesy of 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. I am a huge fan of the product. I recommend the sour apple mixed with a little bit of I recommend the sour apple. John Lopez has a Rick Smith conspiracy theory. We'll get to that in a sec, but before we do that, 713-572-4610. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on In the Loop.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
All right. So my big piece about this whole situation is that, like, the Astros themselves, the organization, including MLB and the fans, nobody's saying, like, or there's not enough people saying that they need to vacate the title. And that, to me, is just disappointing.
What? Do you, Joe, let me ask you this. Do you, like, live in a hole, or do you get out much? Like, I don't know. What do you mean not enough people are saying that? That seems to be all I hear.
No. Like,
do you have cable?
I've been watching this, like, since I got back from the Philippines. I just barely got back from a wedding. And, like, I just saw everything that's on ESPN. But a lot of the players themselves aren't saying it. Maybe I might be mistaken, but I don't think I've seen the owner actually say it either. Am I right?
Why would the owner come out and say, I want to vacate my title?
Because that's the right thing to do. Because all the other owners and everybody, all the other franchises are looking at the Astros right now, and they're saying, like, y'all need to vacate the title.
Do you have, like, one example of, like, in a cheating scandal, someone saying, you know what, they caught me, I need to vacate my title? Like, did USC
well,
do
they
that
would
with
never
Reggie
say
Bush?
It
like,
themselves.
When does that ever happen?
They would never say that themselves. But I hear your point because you're not alone. A lot of people, in fact, have said they should vacate the title. It's a slippery slope, though, and I hate to use that cliche, Figgy, but because what's the option? Is you going to not have a title when everybody knows it was the Astros anyway? It's just so tough to say. I don't think they should because of that, and also because there's no telling. You literally never will know.
Appreciate
you'll
you,
never
Joe.
Know who would have who yeah. would not have
I mean,
won the
to
title.
To say that nobody's saying that. I mean, yeah. My man Joe, he was in the Philippines though, so he's living good. So thanks yeah, very yeah. much for the call, Joe. I'm jealous of you, man. I'd love to go to the Philippines, but man, get you some Wi-Fi, get you a computer. There are a lot of people talking about they should vacate the title, which I think is a little bit silly, but to each his own. I think they deserve the punishment they got. I think they deserve the smoke they got.
Mm-hmm.
I think all that, but I don't like vacating titles. I've never liked that. I've always thought that was
ridiculous.
It just
doesn't. It doesn't really accomplish anything.
And even when it benefits me, I've never really understood it. Like, for example, who's my favorite athlete? Who's the guy that I like the most?
Vince Young.
There it is. Ding, mm-hmm. ding, ding.
Yeah.
Reggie Bush won the Heisman Trophy. I don't know that he should have or shouldn't, but Reggie Bush won the Heisman Trophy, and they tried to say that it never happened or whatever. Vince Young did not get that Heisman Trophy. I wasn't sitting there saying, give the Heisman Trophy to Vince Young.
Right.
It's just
– the vote was in.
And Reggie Bush did what he did. I yeah. watched what he did. So yeah. I'm okay with it. I'm never a fan of vacating. There was an interesting article in The Athletic, courtesy of Dan Pompey. Or is it Pompey? P-O-M-P-E-Y?
Pompeo.
Pompeo. So you know him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, Pompey. You're right. It's Pompey. I was thinking of another Pompeo.
Dan Pompey told some interesting tales about Rick Smith. Apparently, first of all, Texans GM Rick Smith keeps a journal. But he also talked about, you know, the suffering that Smith's late wife went through, the fact that when he and the Texans parted ways, there was some other stuff going on. It's an interesting article, to say the very least. But the most interesting thing to me, and I want to get your takeaway on this because you got a conspiracy theory
mm-hmm.
because of this article, but on draft night of 2017, Rick Smith told a story about being in the war room with Bill O'Brien and the rest of the Texans front office. This is a snippet from Mr. Pompey's article. Quote, he knew Watson would not last until the 25th pick, he being Rick Smith. He thought they would have a chance to trade up to the 6th, so he pulled the others in the draft room to see if anyone else was interested in making a move. Nobody else was. The price was prohibitive anyways. So the Chiefs trade up to the 10th spot and take Pat Mahomes. Watson was still on the board, and the trade up with the Browns to the 12th spot was possible. Smith asked the others in the room if anyone would give up next year's first rounder to move up number 12 to get Watson. Seems like a good deal. If you need a quarterback, why not? And, and we know what happened. Not one person said they would, Smith says. He typically values consensus, but not this time. Smith leaned over to speak to Bill O'Brien, and he said, if he's there at 12, I'm going to go get him. O'Brien's response was the following, quote, according to Smith, if you have a feeling in your gut like that, do it. I'll coach him up, and we'll be good.
All right. I do have a conspiracy theory on this.
Hit me with it. Hit me with it. Hit me with it.
And I don't want to.
Hit me with it.
Why didn't they just say that when all this was going on, Rick Smith was also wearing a white cowboy hat and riding a white horse? Because they're... Could you portray Rick Smith as a classic hero who was smarter than everybody in the room?
Hey.
Who, this, what?
He drafted DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, Dwayne Brown, Deshaun Watson. You like those players?
Yeah, they're pretty good. Here's the thing. This reminds me of, remember like the old show, The Jeffersons? Everybody seen The
Moving
Jeffersons?
Moving on
show,
up.
Right? Like how George Jeffersons always remembers something different than everyone else. Like he, like when they have a flashback, he remembers himself as like the hero, as the smart guy, as he, you know, everybody loved him and all this other stuff. This is a planted story. Ooh. If ever there's been a planted story.
There was also some misleading dialogue about the
I got it.
The relationship with McNair too.
Yeah,
because Rick Smith, when his contract expired on December 31st. He was actually collecting a paycheck without even being employed.
Yes.
So that was poorly written by your man.
Let me tell you what's going on here, people. This is OG talk, man. I mean, this is...
Oh, third person OG talk.
I'm going to third person. This is just experience. Here's three things are going. Because they're making Rick Smith... Look, I'm not saying Rick Smith's a bad dude, but he might as well be riding a white horse here. Like, everything they say, like they and we bash on Bill O'Brien, I think deservedly so. They make him look like a fool. You know, like, I asked for a consensus and nobody raised their hand. Which, oh, by the way, Bill O'Brien was one of those nobodies. So they make Bill O'Brien look like, oh, is Deshaun Watson good?
This is
good?
Clearly planted.
Yeah, is Deshaun Watson planted. Good? I don't know. Is he a good quarterback? And then the quote, if you have a feeling in your gut like that, do it. I'll coach him up and we'll be good. This is
Let's ask Rick Smith about Brock Osweiler.
This is a planted story because Rick Smith wants back in football.
I feel you.
And that's been reported for a while.
That's the OG conspiracy theory. We'll get more into that. I'm actually going to talk to John McClain about it because I'm hosting with Clint today.
Literally, you know, very rarely do you actually get an LOL. Do you really laugh out loud?
You really laughed out
loud. I was like, come on, man. You expect us to believe this white horse stuff?
We'll hear if John McClain believes that today on Sports Radio 610 at 1:40. No plugs, man. We're going to keep it moving. It's Friday drive time, John McClain. I don't need you to tell Joe DiMaggio stories. No disrespect, but I'll be hosting with Clint Sterner as well. Right now, we've probably left him on the line a little bit too long, which that's my bad.
I went on a rant. I'm sorry.
When you have baseball royalty on the line like Bob Nightingale, Radio.com Insider, courtesy of 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two tropical flavors, you probably shouldn't go on a tangent like we just did. Mr. Nightingale, we apologize. Thank you very much for joining us live from Stroh Spring Training.
Yeah, no problem. I was just over there yesterday.
Okay. How was yesterday in your career covering baseball, everything you've seen, as far as just the drama, the buildup, the anticipation, what was it like there? And then on the back end of that, what was your biggest takeaways from what happened yesterday?
Well, I wish the Astros had just opened the clubhouse and didn't have the press conference. The press conference made them look pretty bad. You know, just Jim Crane didn't come off well. Dusty Baker did. Of course, Dusty Baker wasn't even part of that in 17 or 18. And then when the clubhouse opened, I thought that was very good, particularly guys like Carlos Correa was strong in his comments. Mm-hmm. So I think they would have been better off just doing that. Unfortunately, with the press conference, you know, that's televised everywhere, and a lot of players were kind of, you know, outside the Astros lashing back. they didn't really get the full story. So that part's unfortunate for the Astros.
Kudos to you and your baseball brethren. We were very impressed by the questions, the follow-up questions. I thought everybody was trying to get to the bottom of the story here, or at least more information. So kudos to you. I thought there were two questions that I either missed or were not asked that I wanted asked, and I'm wondering if you have any enlightenment on that. Number one, I thought this could have really affected players a lot, because it's been reported out there that it was players who removed monitors and hid them in an office. It was players who were banging on the trash can. It was players who took out a massage gun and hit the trash can with the massage gun. Did anybody ask who were those players, or has it been reported to your knowledge who were those players?
No, they they even were trying to, take some of the blame off fellas Beltran as well as Alex Cora, saying, hey, we're all part of it. Quit blaming Beltran. He's not even around to defend himself. I think the reports is player driven, but management knew about it. What was interesting yesterday is a couple players said they never saw the monitors being broken up by A.J. Hinch.
Yeah.
So I know that was the best kept report, but, it didn't happen. Anybody else witnessed that? So I think everybody was culpable. I know the report
was driven.
I have a hard time believing that.
Yeah, of course, everybody does. I was just curious if the actual players who did that, because that would be enlightening. And the other question I have that I didn't hear, and correct me if I'm wrong again, did anybody say what message they would like to offer to A.J. Hinch?
No, not really. I mean, I think a couple of guys felt sorry that he lost his job. They would lose that hole, that he lost his job. But no one said, a message to him. So that part was very vague. It's like, just how much did he know? How much was he a spearhead of that part? So, right now, everybody's saying player-driven, but no one really believes that. In the players, they're not going to say, hey, this guy did this part. This guy said don't do it. No one's really sure if anybody said don't do it, but they're all part of it. I'm in Mets camp today. J.D. Davis said he was a rookie coming up. He says he kind of knew it was wrong. That was his first clubhouse. what's he going to do? Start telling guys, hey, don't do this as a young kid. So Jake Marisnik's supposed to talk this afternoon and address the same situation.
Radio.com insider Bob Nightingale joining us now, courtesy of 5-Hour Energy Shots. All right, we're not going to bog you down too much with the cheating controversy. I know it's front and center, but I'd be remiss if I didn't get your take on Dusty Baker being the manager of the Houston Astros, because you were the first one to break that story, and we appreciate you for jumping on right after you did that. But how do you think Dusty Baker is feeling about what he signed up for? And being someone who probably knows him better than most, do you think yesterday was surprising to him with the storm, or was that something that he was prepared for and was ready to endure?
Yeah, he was definitely ready for it, and he told the Astro people, hey, I'm going to speak from the heart. I don't want a prepared script or anything like that. Let me say how I feel. But he said those guys in the meeting on Wednesday night were very brokenhearted about it, talked about how bad they felt all winter long. And they know, hey, this season's going to be a nightmare for them on the road. I mean, they're going to be taunted and booed, just like when Barry Bonds was out there chasing Hank Aaron's record after the PED scandal. Ryan Braun, particularly going to Chicago after the PED thing. So, even Justin Verlander says, I'm a little worried about, woke up there morning thinking about security. They are going to have more security on the road. It's going to be nuts for those guys.
Mm. Bob, I want to ask you something before we let you go. Bob Nightingale joining us, radio.com insider, courtesy of 5-Hour Energy Shots. And this was amusing to us. It lasted about a week. And I just want to know why exactly, because we ran with it immediately, because when someone like you reports that Dusty Baker is going to be the manager, I mean, we just took it as the gospel immediately. We were talking about it. But every other baseball writer in the world, it seemed like, was trying to act like, not so fast. I don't know what's going on. Is that just baseball writers being weird? What was going on with that? Was there something? What was going on with that? I'm sorry, I'm at a loss for words. It was so weird to me.
I think just everybody's been closed mouthed about it. Like nobody wanted to affirm it and say that it was Baker. And, you know, the Astros, I think, were caught in a little bit of an awkward spot because they hadn't told their candidates, you're out. And, you know, for instance, they had not told Brad Ausmus, you're out. I think they still wanted Brad to be part of that coaching staff, a bench coach. And obviously he didn't accept the position. So I think just it was coming out so fast, nobody wanted to confirm anything that this is our guy. I think as soon as they called Dusty and jumped on the plane and they interviewed him, it was definitely his job.
We had your back, man. We talked about it the next day. Like, this is weird how everybody, I mean, a respected baseball writer like that. Hey, last thing, Astros remarkably, maybe not so remarkably, expected to win 98 games this year in Las Vegas. How do you think they're going to do on the field? You just talked about what's going to happen over the course of the entire season. What do you expect?
Well, they're so talented. But, you know, hey, you lose Gerrit Cole. You just lost, you know, 20 wins. You lost, 220 innings, whatever it was. So it's a big loss of Cole. And I think, you know, hey, they're human. I think on the road is going to affect them. There's going to be a lot of pressure on those guys. I mean, one guy goes over 15, and all of a sudden, hey, it's because he's not cheating anymore. Mm-hmm. That's why he's slumping. So I think Oakland A's are going to be very, very tough to beat. Remember now, A's beat them up last year in the series. I was there in September when they beat up Byers, they lost 3 of the 4 games to the Oakland A's. So I think Oakland has got to be at least a co-favorite.
All right,
Bob Nightingale, radio.com insider, courtesy of 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in 2 great tropical flavors. We appreciate you for joining us. Thank you very, very much for hopping on to In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Bob right. Nightingale right there. Man, that you really know, here's was the thing. Weird. That was a question that
– I'm glad you asked that.
It was strange.
Because we went several days. We're like, dudes, it's going to happen.
What's going on
It's
right going
to happen.
It was so weird. It was so strange. The Yankees, they're throwing shade at the Astros. And yesterday, Gerrit Cole met with the New York media types for the first time. Did he join the slander party? You'll find out next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.